WMCH HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Enlightened philosophers tell us that we are divine beings in human form. Let's get real here. How can we live a busy life with a job, kids, and a mortgage and still be spiritual? Join CJ Liu as she tackles real-life issues through a spiritual lens and talks with experts in relationships, work, and more. You'll get practical life skills and learn how to touch, feel, and experience a whole new way of living. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com, and call CJ now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
And welcome in, everybody. It is Wednesday here at The Sky, New Horizon, No Boundaries. My name is Mike. I'm filling in for Cassandra, hopefully quite admirably today. I can't really guarantee that yet, but we are broadcasting from the bunkers that is CBS Sky Radio, and it is time for Fire It Up with CJ, now at the new and improved www.fireitupwithcj.com. Also, if you'd like to check her out on Facebook, use that same little phrase there, Fire It Up with CJ. And it is October. I'm a baseball fan. It's time for that, as well as my share of donuts, cider, and, you know, changing leaves, and warm weather, cold weather. I'm in Michigan, so it's a little bit of everything. So I'm sure the weather's quite nice, hopefully out where CJ is at as well.
There is. It's nice. Well, actually, you know, we've been inundated with rain because people say, you know what, in Seattle it rains all the time, and it really does. From October up until about April, it's raining every day.
Wow.
It's not a joke. It happens, and it's real. So welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Oh, my pleasure to be here.
So today, you know what? I realized that I have had a theme, and it's odd. When I'm booking shows, I'm booking them all throughout the year. So I booked the show originally with our current guest, Dr. Kenneth Worthy, in April, and then we moved it out now so to coordinate with the launch of his book. But it ends up being from my very first show in October to this one. It all has a beautiful progression. So I started off the beginning of the month talking to Gene Hayner, and we were talking about ancient Chinese philosophers and how the Chinese people were so attuned with nature, the Taoists, and they learned about life through nature. And then afterwards, I talked to Dr. Joe Dispenza, who was talking about how our thoughts create our reality. And now, today I'm going to be talking to Dr. Kenneth Worthy, who wrote The Invisible Nature. And so what he does is he really dives into our thoughts. Where do they come from? Why do we relate to the world in the way that we relate to them, which I think is, I never realized, but it's a pretty core issue. If you don't really know where your thoughts come from, then you also don't know your behavior and what drives your behavior, which is basically your thoughts. I know that from a life coach. So today we are going to be looking at protecting the planet and helping heal the destructive divide between people and the environment. And Dr. Kenneth Worthy has done such a beautiful job. He's an environmental scholar, and I can tell from reading this book because there's so much research that clearly went into writing this book. I think there may be 50 pages of resources on here in the back of notes. It's pretty impressive. So welcome, Dr. Worthy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, CJ.
Yeah, it's incredible. There are probably 50 pages of notes? How long did it take you to write this book?
Well, actually, I've been working on it since about 1998.
Wow.
I started thinking about going into graduate school, I started putting together these ideas and developed them all the way through graduate school, working with a lot of scholars at UC Berkeley. And then I kind of put it aside after graduate school for a few years and kind of thought about ways of presenting it to a larger audience. And because that's important to reach out to people, because it really affects all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And just in the last few years, I started to assemble it as a book for a general audience. And I think that it's, you know, so far the reactions are that it is addressing a kind of a large portion of the population, and people are finding it readable and important.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. It should be a textbook, I think, for any environmental studies. You can go tell Berkeley that. Tell them quickly.
Actually, I'm using it as a textbook in my class at Santa Cruz
right
now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a beautiful book and an incredible. It really is scholarly when you read it. It's really a beautiful piece of work. So in your book, Invisible Nature, you spend a lot of time talking about disassociation, and I wanted to introduce that term to the listeners. Tell us what it means. What does it mean to be disassociated, and why is that so important?
This term I'm using, dissociation, covers a lot of different things. And the reason it does that is that I've noticed in my research and in my observations of everyday life that there are these ways in which, in Western society, things are broken up. And it's not just in the ways we think about the world, it's also in the way we experience the world and the way our modern society is organized. Mm. And so I use this kind of umbrella term to describe and refer to all the different ways that disconnection, separation, and isolation percolate throughout our society, throughout our lives, throughout our economic systems and our technologies. And the ways that we, as I talk about in Chapter 7, the ways that we organize space in the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
And so the core of it, though, and the most important part is that we have these, in the history of Western thought, we have all of these ways that disconnection is really a key kind of organizing principle of our thought. And it's also an organizing principle of our experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, on the face of it, that doesn't really mean anything because all of us have experiences in our everyday lives. We have interactions with people. We experience all sorts of things in our everyday lives. We're connected to certain things. But
mm-hmm.
the key is that with dissociation, there are important things we are disconnected from as well. So in our modern lives, we're immersed in our homes, in our computers, in our cars, in our offices, in our Facebook accounts, in our friends and colleagues, and grocery stores. And all of those things fill our attention. But
mm-hmm.
there are some very important things missing from our experience.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you were describing it, I was kind of envisioning, and I'm someone with a business background, so I just think of processes, and everything has to be linear and straight lines and boxes and cubes and thinking out of the box. Like we're all in, I think that's a, like you were saying, it's the outcome of our thought is this kind of linear, straight, boxed in, boxed out kind of experience. And that's how, and then we put ourselves in little boxes. We look at our computer box and, you know, in other cultures, it's about circles. I know this is kind of far flung, but even if you think about shapes, I really think of our, like, you know, you go down and I think you wrote something interesting in the book. When you're in a plane and you're looking down at the patchwork quilt below you, it was just a bunch of squares. You know, the earth, which has all these curves and geometry, just we essentially turn them into gigantic squares.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. Sorry.
I just think that's a really good insight I wanted to comment because, you know, in our experience and these things I talked about with our offices and our Facebook accounts and our computers, straight lines predominate. And, mm-hmm. and not only straight lines, but simplified forms. Even mm-hmm. if there is a circle, it's really a simplification of the really complex and rich kind of phenomenal landscape that all of our ancestors for hundreds of thousands of years or millions of years, depending on how you count it and want to go back, they experience a rich and lush, complex, sensory world.
Mm-hmm.
And we are living in a world that's reduced in many, many ways, and a lot of it's reduced to words, to words in our computers.
Yeah, you know, I used to work at Microsoft, and we would be in these meetings, and it's all about concepts. I mean, every single meeting is about ideas and concepts. We're in our heads, as someone I think someone in TED described it as, we were just like gigantic brains with this body, like these toothpicks holding us up. We're just in the meeting talking about ideas and concepts and teasing out the ideas of the other people. And when that happens, I think what I noticed in those meetings is when people didn't speak in a linear fashion, people didn't even listen to them. I mean, we have so, because we're trained in this way, I also think we're trained to listen and interact in this linear way too, so that when someone talks in a non-linear way, it's incredibly irritating. I remember people just, you know, their eyes would go off in a zone because people who were non-linear were ununderstandable, I think. It's weird.
Yeah. No, I agree, and especially your point about the things that gain our attention in everyday life, and we're thinking about ideas and figures and numbers and the bottom line and, you know, organizational charts and all of these concepts, and they're all artifice. I talk about that in the book. We're concerned with mostly physical and mental artifice, things that humans have created, and that's really new in human evolution and human life, and that has profound implications for how we actually behave as animals, which we still
mm-hmm.
are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just think about it simply as an animal in a cage, a square cage. You know, sometimes people are kind enough to create a zoo with a natural surrounding, but it isn't. I mean, it's basically a gigantic square.
Yeah.
So going back to, you know, what is the impact of being disassociated? I'm definitely hearing, you know, we take the complex and we try to simplify them. So in some ways we miss the nature of, like, all the juicy complexity and interesting parts of life. What are the other impacts of being disassociated?
Well, the main one that I write about is that there's a real severed connection here between our actions and that happen in our daily lives, our choices in our daily lives, and the consequences of them, which are spread out around the planet. And this is the most this is the most important part of the book, because at the core of it, when we have this fragmented world in which we make choices in our daily lives, like maybe you buy margarine from the grocery store, and a lot of margarine and almost, I think, half or more of processed food products have palm oil in them.
Mm-hmm.
In tropical plantations, a lot of them are in Indonesia and other parts of Southeast Asia. And to make a palm oil plantation means clear-cutting a rainforest, just taking it down, burning it down often.
Wow.
Rainforests are habitat for a lot of animals, and, you know, one of the most charismatic of which is the orangutan. I pronounce it orangutan because I've lived in Indonesia a lot, and that's the Indonesian pronunciation, and it's an Indonesian Malay word. And it means people of the forest. And you look at them, you know, they're people. You know, they have personalities, they have awareness, they have relationships, they understand some things about their environments, etc. And their habitat's being destroyed, and they're being killed off because of that. Some rescue organizations go in and rescue some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, all of these consequences are happening because of, you know. And you're part of the system when you buy the margarine. And I know, I've just looked recently, I have focused on this particular issue more, and I looked at products in my refrigerator, and there's palm oil, you know, and I'm located in, you know, orangutan habitat destruction.
And
so, yeah, it's
hard not to feel guilty and bad. Now I'm going to have to go look at all the palm oil that I've used and just think of a poor orangutan and thinking of its beautiful face so that I can have my margarine or whatever else is in the food that I have made out of palm oil. It's a hard thing, though, right? Because like you said, you didn't realize that some of the things in your refrigerator or in your pantry had that. I mean, how do you deal with that?
Well, it's difficult. And, you know, I try not to have kind of an overwhelming sense of guilt. And I'll tell you what, this whole project of mine has really changed me in a way that I feel much more empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And when you realize how disconnected we are from the consequences of our choices, that in a way that makes us kind of, it makes it almost impossible to be an ethical, fully ethical person.
Because
I have ethics. And to really implement my ethics, to make them happen in the world, I should want to be able to know what all of the consequences are of my choices.
At least
know them, and better, as maybe we'll talk about later, but better to actually witness them. Because we're still animals, we need to witness to really resolve.
We have to go to break. So we have Dr. Kenneth Worthy here talking about his new book, Invisible Nature. And up next, we're going to be diving in a little bit more about our cultural values and how that has driven this sense of dissociation with the planet. We'll be right back.